D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. Willie, Derek, and I are live from Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse in Midtown Nashville. We thank them for their outstanding hospitality. And if you want to experience that same outstanding hospitality, you should come on out to Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse. You can call them at 615-329-4349. Go online to jimmykellys.com/reservations or book through Open Table. And if you mention 102.5 The Game when you're making that reservation, you will enjoy a free dessert with your meal. So if you are looking for something to do tonight, maybe you have a first date and you still don't know what you're going to do a couple of hours before you're supposed to meet up, Jimmy Kelly's. You need a place to go to before the Vanderbilt game tomorrow? Jimmy Kelly's. You like steak? Jimmy Kelly's.
If you ain't got nothing to do, come on through, all right?
You're just Jimmy full Kelly's. Of slogans today.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Threats.
Walking tagline.
Slogans.
You will not be sorry. I promise you. Yes. This is a first-class operation.
Food is great.
Jimmy Kelly. It's great.
And they got TVs on right now. Sports
I just stumbled.
It opened right. in 1934, and when you walk in, you will feel the history.
I got that vibe when I walked in.
Did you get
in.
The vibe?
Yeah. Yes. I stumbled across an interesting stat before we get to our party game here. I stumbled across an interesting stat during the break. Apparently, Cam Ward is the only quarterback selected number one in the common draft era to not throw an interception through his first two games of a season. First two starts, I should say.
And to top that off, and I mean, we talked about it earlier in the week. I mean, he had the one fumble, but if you look at outside of that, he hasn't had any turnover-worthy plays outside of that fumble that he had. What was it, late in the second half? Or
against Denver?
Against Denver, early in the second half. So he's managed to take care of the ball and not put the ball in harm's way. And as he continues to learn his offense and the guys around him continue to get better, I think you will see him starting to expand that.
Cam Ward has been charged with one turnover-worthy play by PFF through two games. It came against the Rams. I'm not exactly sure which one that was.
I'm guessing that's the one he actually turned over?
Yep. That's probably it. So let's get to our party game. Again, as I said before the break, I didn't go to many parties when I was younger. Not because I was too cool. It was because I was too uncool to go to parties. So
don't worry.
I didn't play those cool games like Spin the Bottle or 7 Minutes in Heaven or anything like that.
I never played those games either, man.
Willie, though.
Oh, I did not. I really wish I had.
Exactly.
Willie
I never
is
got
being
to go
modest.
Into the, you know, get the bottle and you go
exactly.
into the closet
no,
like
I never
some
did
of these
any
TV
of
shows or movies. I'm familiar.
Yeah, gosh.
But we're going to play a game that most of you have probably played in your lives. It's called Would You Rather.
Yes, I played that before.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you rather? That's usually how it starts.
Yes. Would you rather? And we are going to do it this way.
Uh-huh.
Would you rather be the Tennessee Titans or one of these other winless NFL teams? And I'm not just talking about this season. I'm talking about the overall situations of those franchises, their trajectories, all of those things. So the Tennessee Titans are one of 10 winless teams in the NFL. Joining the Titans on that illustrious list, the New York Jets, the Miami Dolphins, the first 0-3 team this season after losing last night, the Cleveland Browns, the Houston Texans, the Kansas City Chiefs, the New York Giants, the Chicago Bears, the New Orleans Saints, and the Carolina Panthers. Now, I'm not going to include the Kansas City Chiefs because I know the Chiefs are 0-2, but look what the Chiefs have been doing. I think any Titans fan would rather have multiple championships and Patrick Mahomes than what they have here. I may even say the same about Houston. I know Houston has struggled this season, but C.J. Ward has shown that he can be a successful quarterback at the NFL level. So there are a couple of situations that I am going to pick out here. And I want all of us to answer these questions. And I want you to as well. At 615-737-1025. By the way, before we get to that. So, Greg. Remember, Greg got on my list yesterday?
Yes.
Because he was wrong when he tried to correct me that Nashville SC's coach, his name is Brian Callahan. It's spelled differently. He asked me if Scott from Hendersonville has moved up above him in the rankings for not answering the phone twice.
Two failed calls.
I said, it's close. Then Greg said, dweebs, you're back on the list, Greg.
You're back on the list. I'm thinking a dweeb.
Well, you don't call Derek or Willie dweebs either.
Exactly.
You are back on the list, Greg.
Just because we didn't play spin the bottle.
Yeah.
Exactly. Come on now.
Did you play spin the bottle, Greg?
I doubt it.
Okay. Oh, anyway, so I want you all to play as well at 615-737-1025. And there is I tested this out this morning. I went to Predators training camp. Next man up with Jake Lyman and Connor Newt, plus Chase McCabe were there when I was there. And I told them that we were going to do this. And there was one team that they all sort of keyed in on as this is a tough one. So we will get to that at one point. But let's start with this. Would you rather be the Tennessee Titans or – let's lump them together. Either of the New York-based / New Jersey-based football franchises, the Jets or the Giants. And I sent you all a clip today of WFAN and one of their hosts saying, this could be the last meaningful football Friday in our town because these teams are 0-2, and if they go 0-3, it's over. So we're not alone, Titans fans, Tennessee, Nashville residents. And feeling hopeless, you know, feeling hopeless about our teams, if I can spit it out. So would you rather be the Titans or either one of the New York / New Jersey-based football franchises?
First of all, it's a sad part about our business that these clips, because I saw that guy just absolutely destroy the Mets earlier when the Mets were in their tailspin, which they're still trying to get out of. But the sad part about our business is, the louder you are, you give a very, tilted text like that, or text, or rant like that, it gets people's attention. He didn't really say anything. He was just howling at the moon, basically. But that aside, editorial aside, I would rather be the Titans than the Jets, because I think the Jets have, it's looking like they're missing their chance. Like, they built up what looked like a pretty good roster, and they didn't get the quarterback play, and now it looks like the window is closing. They just haven't been able to fix the offensive line issues and some of the other things that it just hasn't connected. But that's the history, or at least recent history, of the Jets, but really the history of the Jets for 50, 60 years, right? They just have never really had long stretches of success. So I think I'd rather be almost anybody than the Jets. So that puts it there. The Giants, I think – we don't know about Dart yet. I just have their recent success isn't been good, but historically the Giants have known what they're doing a lot better. So I think I would rather be the Giants than the Titans.
They also have Malik Nabers at wide receiver, who looks like a stud wide receiver.
They got some major problems, but yeah, and we'll see if Dart is the key, right? Mm-hmm. If Dart ends up being good, which in a few weeks we might start to see what he's got. But they have dreadful offensive line play, like the Titans, and not a great defense. But yet it's a toss-up, but I would rather be the Giants.
Derek?
I would rather be the Giants. I just think, for one, the Titans don't have enough young, like, playmakers, guys that have shown they could be playmakers. They don't have a bunch of those guys. Hell, they don't have really any that have shown consistent playmaking ability. Now, I'm talking about their young guys. But when you look at the Giants, obviously their number one playmaker is Malik Nabers, and he is quickly becoming one of the best wide receivers, not, let alone one of the best young wide receivers, but one of the best wide receivers in the game. But then you look on the defensive side of the ball, they have two guys that have shown they can play in this league, in Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence. And then they go and draft Abdul Carter this past draft. And they have some other players on that team, former first-round Brian Burns out of Florida State. He got drafted first round. I forgot the team he got drafted by in the first round. But
Carolina, I believe.
I think it was. Yeah, you're right. But they have these guys that they've drafted that have shown that they can be players, and then they got other guys that they put together. But more importantly, they got a bunch of young guys that have shown their worth in this league. They're just trying to match the quarterback up to their who they believe is an elite wide receiver. And now Cam Scatterboo is in the backfield. So
that's my guy.
If he can drum up anything that he did during the playoffs, I mean, they're going to have themselves a good bet. But I think the Giants are just in a better position as of now. If I'm looking for a team that – if I'm picking a team out of those three.
I would agree. I would take the Giants situation over the Titans situation right now. I also agree I would rather have be the Titans than the Jets. I think we're all in agreement there. We'll do some rapid fire here because I do want to get to the one that Jake, Connor, and Chase thought was most interesting. I'll just tell you right now, I'd rather take the Titans situation than the Saints situation.
Take
it from me. I'd rather be the Titans than the Saints
I think we would be unanimous in that.
Yes. And we're talking about like
salary cap situation.
Right, we're talking about like future
situation.
Power rankings kind of here. I would also take the Titans situation over the Panthers situation, I think. That might be a toss up. Willie, you seem intrigued by that one.
I don't know. I had some I distinctly remember some people pointing at the Panthers as a team that could make a pretty big jump this year. It hasn't surfaced yet. And I don't know enough about their pieces, but it certainly doesn't look good. So right now I would hope that the Titans are further along than the Panthers, only because I think at this point Bryce Young, he's got to make a – now that he's in his third year, he's got to make a huge leap to get to where they hope he will get. So every day that goes by that he doesn't make that leap, it's just looking like he's going to be an okay quarterback and not a star quarterback.
Let's get to the one that Jake, Connor, and Chase thought was the most interesting. Would you rather be – and again, this is about not just this season. I'm talking about – a few years down the road, based on roster, cap situation, all of those things. Would you rather be the Tennessee Titans or the Chicago Bears?
Why did I know that was going to be the team?
Well, you're a smart guy.
I would rather be the Bears. Way, way more talent on the roster. Way more. They've had way more top 100 picks, top 30 picks. Like, if they can't make it work in the next year or so with all of the assets that they've had, that is on them. But they have – I would rather take that collection of talent and go run with it. They're so far ahead of the Titans. To me, that's not a toss-up. I will take the Bears hands down.
But the wild card is Caleb Williams. It depends on how you feel about Caleb Williams.
Okay, I'll throw it back to you guys. Is Caleb Williams more of a wild card than Cam Ward? I would say the same. They're both very talented first-round picks. I think Caleb Williams graded way higher coming out of college. I don't know that either one of them is going to make it. So that's a toss-up to me, and so I would say that's a wash, and then the rest of the roster is a no-brainer for the Bears.
From an offensive standpoint, you just kind of sort of look from man to man. I think Caleb – and Cam Ward would be, to me, is a wash. I think because those two guys, Caleb is still learning because he's been through two or three different systems or offensive coordinator. Obviously, Cam's learning because he just got in the league. So I think that sort of can be a wash. But if I'm leaning any side, I'm leaning more toward Cam because I know what I have seen from Caleb Williams and I know what I haven't seen from Cam Ward. But then you go to DeAndre Swift. Is that a wash with he in Pollard? Possibly. Some may take Swift over Pollard because he's more of a back that can catch out of the backfield. He's more of a threat out the backfield than, say, they've used Pollard. DJ Moore, we all know we'll take DJ Moore. Roman Dunze, we all know we'll take Roman Dunze.
Colston Loveland
Cole
Kmet.
Exactly.
At tight
so
end.
You're looking at an offense that on paper – if you're just talking about personnel, I'm taking Chicago's.
Right. That's the problem.
Exactly.
On paper, it's not even close.
Yeah, it's not even close
But you are sitting there wondering, why do the Bears never look better? Like, we'll see what Ben Johnson
like,
in the coming weeks, but they've struggled.
But like it could be this. Like the Indianapolis Colts, You thought you had you a quarterback, but you're going to find out he's not the quarterback for this offense that you want to run. He's not disciplined enough for this offense for you to run it. So it may be another guy that comes in off the bench that ends up.
A Daniel Jones?
Exactly. That ends up running that offense.
You know what people speak fondly of is their backup, and I forget the guy's name. He's kind of a no-name guy.
For the Bears?
Tyson Badgett.
They had Case Keenum, too.
Yeah, they did. They brought him in to sort of be an extra tutor for Caleb Williams. But that's a really good one to watch, Caleb Williams. But they have pieces. They have pieces. The Titans have no pieces.
That's not a no-brainer to me.
Okay, I blame it on Jake and Connor and Chase.
Yeah, that's not a no-brainer. Because so if you're just take? Looking at the talent, if we you would take Chicago, you, right?
When I'm looking at the talent independent of the quarterback, it's the Bears over the Titans. I'm starting to get convinced, and perhaps this isn't the right way to go about it, but I've read enough and I've listened to enough to have serious questions about Caleb Williams. And there's a larger sample of Caleb Williams than Cam Ward. So there's still the element of the unknown with Cam Ward, which
it's not the Bryce Young alarmism yet, but it's moving in that direction. You're like, where is it? This guy's supposed to be a stud.
That's where I'm kind of like, but just that with Cam Ward, there's still that mystery of potential. I mean, Caleb Williams hasn't been in the league for very long, but he has enough games under his belt where you feel like you have an idea of where he might be going. That's the only thing that kept me from definitively saying Bears.
Well, it's always, I've already seen this compared to what I haven't seen but has potential. I've seen Caleb Williams make mistake after mistake. And when you don't force a quarterback – because there's this fine line between allowing all players, but I think quarterbacks too. There's a fine line with allowing that quarterback to be himself and sort of, make plays within the offense. But there comes a time where he has to be disciplined in the pocket, and he has to be disciplined at offense. Too many times, Chicago allowed him to be undisciplined at that offense. And now it's almost like they can't put the genie back in the bottle. Or if they do, it's going to take a lot of work. That's why he's still making some of these same mistakes, because he's still trying to figure out, how do I play in the pocket? That's why I don't want people to get wild about Cam throwing passes like that. But don't get used to that. Don't. Not until he get himself disciplined and Brian Callahan. And I'm not saying that's not going to happen, because I believe it will. Until they get this man disciplined in the pocket. Yeah, those will come every so often, but I don't want to get used to that. I just don't. Not until he proves that he's the guy in the pocket.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Good old-fashioned game of would you rather. Would you rather be the Titans or one of the other winless NFL teams? Jets, Dolphins, Browns, Texans, Chiefs, Giants, Bears, Saints, Panthers. And I'm not just talking about this season. I'm talking about in the immediate future. 615-737-1025. We'll ask Chad Withrow this question as well. Chad Withrow from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick will join us next. 615-737-1025. Also, if you are going to the Titans-Colts game this Sunday, then you should stop by John Bon Jovi's before you head to Nissan Stadium and join 1025 The Game for the pregame show with Big Joe Dubin, Chris Sanders, and our very own Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. The pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circa Sportsbook Kentucky, and Tennessee Brewworks. The Commodores return to First Bank Stadium tomorrow and take on Georgia State. Pregame begins at 5 on 102.5 The Game with the kickoff at 6:30. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. And we are at Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse right now in Midtown Nashville, not too far from First Bank Stadium. So if you are looking for a place to go before or after the game, may we suggest Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. And Chad, we were just playing a good old-fashioned party game called Would You Rather, a Titans-themed version of Would You Rather.
Well, first, let's find out if Chad has ever partaken in a game of Would You Rather.
Have you, Chad?
I have absolutely partaken. I'm familiar with the game.
Okay.
Big fan of the game, so I'm excited, and I was able to listen to a little bit of you guys, but excited to hear my options.
All right. So
yes. Has he ever partaken in a Jimmy Kelly's, being a born and raised Nashville native?
Oh, hell yeah. It is a Nashville staple you guys are at right now. And if you give me red meat, I'll eat it. So I'm a big fan of Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse.
Good to know. So here's our Titans version of Would You Rather. Would you rather be the Titans or any one of these other winless NFL teams? And we are talking not just this season. We're talking about the trajectory of these franchises. So how many of these situations would you say are worse than the Titans situation right now? The New York Jets, the Miami Dolphins, the Cleveland Browns, the Houston Texans, the Kansas City Chiefs, the New York Giants, the Chicago Bears, the New Orleans Saints, or the Carolina Panthers?
So I'm going to say of those teams, I think for sure the Saints and the Panthers are worse off than the Titans. I'm not willing to say yay or nay on the other ones. You know, there's so many unknowns. It's and I heard you guys talking about it. It's all about quarterback, right? I mean, obviously it's not the Chiefs that you want to switch spots, or that you'd love to switch spots if you were the Titans, but they wouldn't switch spots with the Titans. The Bears have a better nucleus around Caleb Williams, even though I'm not sold on Caleb Williams right now. The Saints don't have a quarterback, and they're going to be really bad, and they don't really have hope in a franchise quarterback on the roster, I don't think. So I will take the mystery box of Cam Ward and what he could be as the number one overall pick over the situation with the Saints. And I'd say the same for the Panthers. There's just a lot of not good with the Panthers with a lack of hope. The Titans' lone hope right now is that Cam Ward hits and that the rookie receivers are going to be better than expected and they're going to have something moving forward on offense. So it's a small list, guys. I mean, I think it's a great question you threw out. There's probably those two teams are the only ones that I would put ahead of the Titans in that pecking order. I think I'd rather be every other NFL franchise listed that's 0-2, and that's not saying a lot for the Titans.
Even the Jets, the Dolphins, the Browns, the Giants, you would take those over the Tennessee Titans right now?
I would take the Jets' defensive nucleus and the fact that they're going to be drafting a quarterback very high next year in the draft and the hope of that. It's close, but I would narrowly take the Jets. I also think Aaron Glenn in year one. Here's the other part about this that I'm sure we're going to get to is the Titans have a coach who's got the same record as Ken Whisenhunt when Ken Whisenhunt was fired.
Yeah.
So Aaron Glenn's in game number three. So maybe Aaron Glenn can get paired up with a good quarterback next year and they've got a pretty good defense and the Jets can be something. I'm also factoring into I believe the Titans are going to be starting over with a new coach by year two for Cam Ward. And we know how that can stunt the growth process of having a completely new system, could be new verbiage, could be a lot of new things. So you're almost starting over in year one with Cam Ward in year two. So I have to factor that in when considering the Titans.
Chad, how critical is this game on Sunday, not just for this season, because I think we can all agree we don't have high hopes for this season. We didn't have high hopes for this season when it started before the Titans were 0-2. But I remember last season in week three, the Malik Willis-led Green Bay Packers came into Nissan Stadium and had their way with the Titans. And 0-3, like, that just feels like the season is a lost cause at this point. Plus, you have to factor in that after this game, the Titans play three consecutive road games, so they won't be in town. People won't be going to the games. How critical do you think this game is on Sunday for Tennessee?
It's hugely critical, and especially for the coaching staff more than anything else. And you look at Brian Callahan right now. He's got to show something. There's got to be some level of growth. There's got to be some level of fight with this team. They need to look like professionals. I mean, there are plenty of bad NFL teams in recent history and every year that they show up and they shellack somebody on the right day where they have a superior game plan and they go out and they execute and they show something. I want the Titans more than anything to show me something. It's not going to put them in the AFC South race in the end or do anything, but what it's going to do is going to knock the Colts back a peg, their longtime rival that's gotten off to a great start with Daniel Jones. They've yet to punt I think, this season. So you're going to knock them down a peg, and you're going to show your fan base in this city that you've got a little something. I want to see something from the Titans. I love Taylor Zarzur. I'm sure he's a good guy. I don't know him. But I'm listening to the coach's show, and he opens by saying something about going toe-to-toe with a playoff team on Sunday. And I'm thinking, did we watch the same game? They didn't go toe-to-toe with anybody. They played a decent first half, and like so many Brian Callahan performances in the past, completely wilted in the second half. You could say that's because of personnel or whatever, but the fact is the Titans have been a terrible second-half team, and they run out of steam. I want to see four quarters of competent NFL play, and if the Titans can do that, they're going to have a great chance to get the win on Sunday, and I think that would just do so much to raise the spirits of everyone, and it would definitely help Brian Callahan and his entire staff.
But Chad, when you talk about, you know, this team showing something, you're absolutely right. But when you look at, you know, who they have on this team, how much can they show? I think, and let me know if you agree with this. I think a lot of it, or all of it, has to do with Brian Callahan developing this quarterback. I think that will always be the number one topic inside that building. How is he developing that quarterback? Because he didn't go out and get these players, a lot of these players were here before he got here. Even the guys that they drafted last year, they're showing promise, but now they're hurt. But it's much more for him to develop that quarterback, because the quarterback ultimately lifts the team. And we know right now that Cam Ward can't lift this team because of the ineptness of the roster. So that's the way I look at it. How do you look at something like that?
Yeah, it's a great question, D-Mace, and they're definitely without J.C. Latham, which is going to impact the offensive development again. Tavondre Sweat is out, another young piece that you'd hope to like and that would be available, so you got to factor that in. It is all about Cam Ward, no doubt about it. But I do think that defensively, you know, when I say show me something, let's look at the Titans' defense. They're good enough to make Daniel Jones punt for the first time this year, right? Like, this is a team that at home, they're good enough to do some things, I think, defensively, even though personnel-wise, they're definitely not, I wouldn't even say mid-tier, but their ceiling is certainly middle of the NFL, I think, on defense. Offensively, there's just got to be growth. We got to see some things. Maybe it's Cam Ward a few times recognizing something a little bit quicker, because his highlights so far this year have been sort of busted plays, eluding pressure, throwing across his body, you know, making a good throw where there's a drop, but just a little bit more execution. I don't think anyone's expecting the world with this Titans team. It's just little incremental steps forward where you start to feel like, okay, now I see what they're trying to do. I don't really understand the identity of this team, and we can point to the GM and the locker room and the personnel or the leaders on the team or the coaching. We can probably point to all of them. But ultimately, that falls on the head coach, Brian Callahan, especially when you're an offensive guy as head coach. I need to know what they're attempting to do offensively, and I want to see Cam Ward understanding it and processing it a little bit quicker when it comes to in-game decision-making. And I think just seeing that would be really enough for me to say, okay, let's give it another week. Let's continue to watch this and see this young kid grow, especially if they can continue to get some things from the rookie wide receivers. I think that's the sign of encouragement the Titans fans want to see, and then, quite frankly, they need to see.
Chad Withrow is with us, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. So, Chad, let's talk SEC football here for a couple of questions. This is an interesting gauge question for where Tennessee and Vanderbilt are right now. If Vanderbilt were to play at Tennessee tomorrow, what do you think the line would be?
I think it'd be Tennessee by about a touchdown. I think it'd be 6.5 or 7 if the game was played tomorrow, and not, because the Neyland Stadium factor would be a big one. But look, I'll say this right now, Willie. They're both playoff teams. Three games into the season, I think everybody's – you know, people come out of the Tennessee-Georgia game saying, oh, we just watched two playoff teams. And I think about Vandy, and I'm thinking, did you see their defense? I get that it was a backup quarterback in the second half, but did you see what they did on the road against the 11th-ranked team in the country? I think both are possible playoff teams right now, but – I think home field for Tennessee would probably be about a touchdown spread.
I'm not ready to go there with Vanderbilt yet. They have such a tough back half of the schedule. But here, this leads me perfectly into the next question, Chad. We now are commonly, every year, looking at SEC baseball and saying to ourselves, okay, in a given year, 14 or 15 out of the 16 teams are are NCAA tournament caliber teams. Basketball literally had, what, 14 make it last year? And yep. I would say all 16 teams either have already beaten a top 25 team or are capable of beating a top 25 team. And I don't know if you could say that every year in the SEC football. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I really believe, like, if you compare it to the Big Ten especially, you know, like Indiana, Illinois, they're going to play in a big game. I think Indiana, Illinois are good teams. If you gave me, let's just take, like, outside of that, what everyone would consider the elite top three in the conference right now. You know, Texas, Georgia, LSU. Let's put them in the same group. Now let's put a group of Alabama, Vanderbilt, Tennessee together. Let's say Ole Miss. I'm taking all of those teams, Vandy, Ole Miss, Alabama, Tennessee. I'm taking them by 10-plus points over Indiana or Illinois right now based on what I've seen. That's where the SEC is elite, and this year especially. I think 1 through 15, I'm going to put some separation between the top 15 and then Kentucky, who I think just may be pretty bad this year. I think every other team, Willie, is good to very good to great. And that's what's going to make it so hard. And you're right, that's what's going to make it difficult for a Vanderbilt.
Right, and for playoffs in general.
Such a dogfight.
Right, because wouldn't you be worried? Yeah, if Tennessee, I agree. Wouldn't you be worried a little bit from, if you're looking league-wide, you're Greg Sankey, that this is your worst nightmare, in theory, is that you might have what happened last year, even on a bigger level, where there's no easy games, so you could be a really good team and end up 9-3, or if you have a really difficult schedule, 8-4, and you're looking around for – there's no clear three or four playoff teams. I feel like that could happen.
Yeah, it's sort of the NFL effect, right? They're all going to beat each other up. And then at the end of the year, you're going to have a bunch of teams at 8-4, 9-3. I'll say this. Give me the 9-3 SEC team. And I'm no SEC homer when it comes to this. And I think sometimes Nick Saban and others sound a little bit ridiculous when they constantly want to petition for the 9-3 SEC team. I have seen enough to say the 9-3 SEC team versus, let's say, a 10-2 Notre Dame or a 10-2 Clemson from what we've seen. Give me the 9-3 team. I don't care what their schedule was. If they finish 9-3 in this SEC, they deserve a spot over some of those two-loss teams that we're going to see from other conferences. But to your point, Willie, about the depth of this conference, I think the biggest game of Tennessee's season is next week in Starkville, because I truly believe that they can avoid that Arkansas collapse of a year ago in the second half. And Josh Heupel tends to have one of those a season where he loses a game, maybe he shouldn't, on the road, where Tennessee just doesn't play that well. That Mississippi State game is the one that I've circled, a road trip, that if they can avoid the upset loss in that one, you get to the bye week at 4-1, they're going to have a great chance, because they're going to have Arkansas and Oklahoma at home. The Alabama trip's going to be tough. We don't know what Florida's going to be at the end of the year. That Vandy game is going to be tough, but it's in Knoxville. There's a lot of opportunities there, but opportunity works both ways when your conference is this good. You got an opportunity to win all of them, and you could lose quite a few of them as well when you look at this league.
I like Tennessee's schedule for the reasons you just said. I want to ask you one question about Georgia. What is your gauge after watching Georgia last week of where they are compared to the level we expect of Georgia, you know, national championship level?
Georgia is Georgia because Gunnar Stockton, I think, is a dude. And I didn't think that
you
going
think so?
In. I didn't think it going in, Willie. And I thought that guy made some big throws. That 4th-and-6 throw to London Humphreys. I mean, Tennessee's got a freshman corner out there. He's in great position. Yes, maybe he could have turned his head around a little bit quicker, but he dropped that thing in a bucket on 4th-and-6 for a 28-yard touchdown. He really impressed me in that game and that atmosphere. Now, I will say this. Tennessee's offense is really good. We haven't seen a Josh Heupel offense throw the ball up and down the field, run the ball up and down the field for almost 500 yards the way they did. So maybe that's something to watch, right? Georgia really got tested in that secondary for the first time, and maybe they're a little bit vulnerable there, and we're giving Tennessee a little bit too much credit, and Georgia isn't Georgia on defense. But if I had to bet right now, I think their defense is going to be really good all year, and you're looking at another playoff trip for the Georgia Bulldogs. So, you know, it's disappointing from a Tennessee perspective. They had about 5 or 6 chances to end that game, and they just didn't do it. Credit Georgia, tip your hat. They made more plays in the end. But I think both teams – I think Georgia is Georgia. I think Tennessee's ceiling is way higher than I expected coming into the season, because Joey Aguilar is way better than I ever expected.
Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, as he is every Friday afternoon. Chad, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Always a highlight of my week, gentlemen. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend.
You as well. Chad Withrow on the program, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe had Predators GM Barry Trotz on the program earlier today, and he had an update on an important Predator story. We'll hit on that next. 615-737-1025. Tomorrow's college football game of the week is Auburn versus Oklahoma at 2:30 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. It's presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com.
I'll cover this one quickly because I know everybody's asking.
Yeah.
Where are you on Luke Evangelista in that deal?
Well, I think we're probably at a little bit of a standstill. Their side, I think the one thing that we both agree is in the right term is in a is sort of a 2-year deal, and yeah. It's just at this point it's you know, we're just too far apart right now that we can do a deal. So that's where we are. I don't think there's any ill will on both sides. It's just the business part with Luke, and Luke, you know, he's doing and his representation are doing what they're doing, and they have that right, just as we have our right. So we love Luke. I hope Luke we can get something done in the near future, and we've sort of created this opportunity with our young people, Luke being one of them, for especially this year and the following year, where this is really the transitional part of where we're going. So I'm sure we'll get something done at some point, but as of today we have nothing.
That was Predators GM Barry Trotz earlier today on the Chase and Big Joe Show live from Fordyce Center Bellevue, where the Predators have opened training camp. Practices continue tomorrow. If you're looking for something to do in the morning, head on out to Fordyce Center Bellevue for Predators training camp practice. Plus, the Predators open the preseason with their annual doubleheader against the Florida Panthers. First game is at 2 p.m. Second game is at 6 p.m. at Bridgestone Arena. But Willie, what did you think of Barry Trotz's update on contract negotiations with Luke Evangelista?
Good stuff from Chase and Joe. And by the way, if you want to hear that interview, it's very Barry Trotz-esque, very detailed. They talk about a lot of different subjects. It will help you get into the season if you're a Predator fan. Adam and I did our part last night on Preds Insiders talking about Evangelista, and we had a really good hour. You can find that out on our website where we archive all of our stuff. But I was listening to Elliot Friedman, who's going to be joining us every Thursday again in our new time slot now, date and time to be determined. But he mentioned Luke Evangelista. You heard Barry Trotz. The big news clip in there is that Barry Trotz says, we agree basically without saying it. He was like, we think a 2-year deal is in the offing here. I matched that up with what Elliot Friedman said about the negotiations, that the sticking point is a guy named Jack Quinn, who is roughly the same age as Luke Evangelista, and he signed recently a 2-year, $3.375 million deal. 3.37 times two. So that is the comparable that Luke Evangelista's camp is looking at. And Adam, you and I were kind of ahead of the game here because there was a summer show that we did where we got into this. So you tell me, do you think Evangelista is in that ballpark? And remember the always ever-present no tax state factor, New York versus Tennessee. What factor do you think that is?
I think Luke Evangelista is in the Jack Quinn ballpark. And again, that cap hit is 3.375. I would probably put Quinn ahead of Evangelista. You know, I've always thought that a 2-year deal with a cap hit between $2.5 and $3 million makes sense for Luke Evangelista. That's where I've sort of landed on this throughout the summer as he went unsigned. But As Barry Trotz said, the two sides are at a stalemate right now. Trotz has also said that he doesn't anticipate this bleeding too much into the season. One thing to keep in mind, and Willie, correct me if I'm wrong, Luke Evangelista has until December 1st to sign a contract as a restricted free agent. If he is unsigned by that date, he is ineligible to play in the NHL this season.
Right. So he doesn't have much leverage, as we talked about throughout the week. That's one of several reasons that he doesn't. His only recourse is to hold out, and I think when you look at all of the wingers, and this is something that Barry Trotz talked about with Chase and Big Joe, they have a lot of wingers that they could plug in there and take a look at, right? And I'm not saying that right now they're better than Luke Evangelista. Evangelista has done more than those guys in the league so far. But the fact is that Evangelista is not a huge play driver. He's a good hockey player who's got a chance to be, I think, a very good player in the league. But I don't see him as a guy that is a needle mover necessarily on his own. And I think when you're in that position, it's hard to get into that. My guess is if you factor in what 3.3 would translate to a non-tax state, maybe that's the sweet spot. Because I think the Predators are willing to wait it out a little bit. And as I've mentioned a couple times this week, I don't think Evangelista would do himself any favors by sitting out too many times simply because the team has gotten off to such poor starts the last 2 years. I think there's an increased emphasis on every training camp practice, even more so than there has been in a while, because they want to get off to a good start. They have to get off to a good start if they're going to change the feeling of the team right now. So I'm with you. I don't watch Jack Quinn play all the time, but he was a high first round pick, right? And I think that he's probably got a little higher ceiling than Evangelista. And so that's why I think they have taken a leap of faith. And I think also if you're the Predators, you can also say, hey, I can't give a comparable to the Sabres. The Sabres aren't exactly the best at evaluating talent, putting talent together. Like, it's not trying to be mean about it, but just because Jack Quinn is doing this, it doesn't mean that I have to believe that Luke Evangelista is worth the same amount of money. It's not that simple.
Quickly, one question from Jeff on our text line. Based on the salary cap going up, the full Jack Quinn contract is a low ball offer for a player they intend to play in a top six role. Do you think that?
Why do you think they intend to play Luke Evangelista in the top six role?
Well, this is Jeff. This is not me. Jeff is saying, based on the salary cap going up, the full Jack Quinn contract would be a low ball offer for Evangelista, who Jeff says they intend to play in a top six role. Which I don't disagree with.
I don't think that there's been any I intend to play. Luke Evangelista has not been in a consistent top six player to this point. Am I wrong about that?
Say that one more time.
Has Luke Evangelista spent extensive time in the top six? He's been in and out of the top
six.
He's
a middle six player. He's a second or third line player.
I would define it that way. That's
he's a
good
middle
way to,
six
he's a
player.
Top nine player, yes. For sure. He's definitely not a top line player.
Yes, he's a second or third line player / middle six player.
If we're being honest, second line, I don't think he's part of a loaded second line. He's not the reason that the second line is loaded. He could play on a second line if he's playing with the right two other players.
Right, he was on
and
my
be a nice piece.
He was on my projected second line in the summer once the dust settled on free agency. I put him on the second line.
He's also been a healthy scratch.
Yes.
More than once in his career. So he's been up and down. He didn't have a great year last year. He was injured last year. I'm just playing both sides. I hope Luke Evangelista signs tonight. They need him in there. They need everybody they can get. But when you're looking at Reed Schaefer, Joachim Kemmel, other guys that they would like to take a look at, they can move forward for a while without Luke Evangelista. I look at that number, but I think that's in the ballpark, but I would go slightly under, especially if you get you should angle for the discount. Use the advantage you have when you're in a no-tax state, as it is now wide open. Everybody acknowledges that
Brad
this
Marchand is said it when the Florida Panthers returned for training camp. He said if the Panthers did not play in a no-tax state, I probably wouldn't be here.
Right. And so he's that guy that brought it to light that everybody's been talking about, and I think the Predators have to wield that advantage that they have.
615-737-1025. Again, the Predators open the preseason with a doubleheader, as they usually do, against the Florida Panthers. First game is at 2 p.m. Second game is at 6 p.m. at Bridgestone Arena. But it's Friday. It's nearly 5 o'clock, so you know what that means. It's time for Ask D-Mace. If you have questions for Derek Mason, call us, text us right now, 615-737-1025. It can be about sports, the Titans, food, life. You need some advice, love, whatever it is. Derek Mason is here for you. So call us and text us, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, our show will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday, prior to the Monday Night Football game. Head up there and watch the Lions-Ravens game, plus ask about Circa's giveaway of a trip to Las Vegas for the Titans-Raiders game in October.